Hello, welcome to This Week in Mormons General Conference Saturday, Sunday morning edition. I hope you're fine. This is a good morning, a good evening, and hopefully a good night for all of you that are listening or watching us. So I hope you had a wonderful General Conference Sunday morning session. What about you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just get straight into things. So I'm going to cover the first couple of talks. So I think to say of note is that we had Elder Eyring conducting, and he was sitting down. I haven't seen that before, someone conducting a session while sitting down. Yeah. Elder Rasband, he gave a talk on words. It'll be interesting to see what each of us took from it. I liked the bit where he talked about the prophet's words, and he reiterated think celestial, and that appeared a lot of times in the session. So Elder Taylor mentioned think celestial, President Oakes mentioned think celestial, but Elder Rasband mentioned it as well. And I liked what he said about words, because it made me think about how in the gospel all we have are our words to convey meaning and to convey how we're feeling about things, and how words often fail us. So I like that from his talk. And then we had President Porter, who spoke directly to the primary children, and she spoke about three gifts that we can ask for in prayer: to know, to grow, and to share. So that I liked it that she spoke to the primary children. I guess we see that sometimes from a member of the primary presidency. So those were the first two talks. Then I got a little bit lost, but Daniel Ferreira, I think you had lots to say about Elder Renlund's talk, right?
Yes, I love his talk. He was talking, he used this reference of a personal experience in Hawaii with a kayak. And this, I think the whole story is a very good, you know, way to reference certain things in our life and our journey, because he said he had experience with kayaks before, but with lake kayaks, and this, you know, ocean kayaks were slightly different. So it was the first, you know, layer of complexity in what he experienced. And then how challenging it was to face the first wave when he was paddling in that kayak. And he did reference of centimeters first, which is also important to mention. An American making references to centimeters is just wonderful to
nice
notice
catch.
That.
I had right?
Yes. Yeah. And he said that the first wave was like this, very, very small. And then the second was slightly bigger, right? And then how the instructor helped him in a way that allowed him to go through the learning process. And then he used all this reference of the kayaking and then paddling towards a specific goal, or in this case, on a specific island, and how at first, because he thought he had good experience with kayaking, he started paddling very, very fast, and then he left behind his wife and daughter, right? And then because he was, pushed off of the kayak because of this very big wave, his wife and daughter reached the goal faster than him. Right. And then he used all this reference, all this story to compare it to our own personal journey. Right. And he talked about momentum, and he talked about steady progress. And I loved it, especially because I think we tend to forget that life is a very long journey. It's a kind of a marathon, but I would say an ultra marathon in terms of our efforts. Right. And it doesn't matter if we did the greatest, you know, timing or the greatest effort one day or one month. Is just how we continuously and sometimes very silently, we do the things we know are good, right? That take us towards, right, our final end goal, which I hope for all of us is just, you know, being together forever as families and be together with our heavenly parents and Jesus Christ. So that being said, He used all these references of the kayaking to notice very interesting things. Another interesting thing is that the instructor was never, you know, judgmental with them, and that's something that we see a lot, right? When we fail, when we make mistakes, right? We don't want people to remind us, oh, ha ha ha, you fell because you're a sinner or you did this stupid decision, right? The instructor didn't do that, right? And then the instructor allowed him time, and then the instructor at a certain point helped him to get back to the kayak, and then silently helped him to go towards that goal. And many, many times, as members of the church, we've got the chance to have those wonderful leaders that are paying attention, and then in the right time, in the right tone, in the appropriate moment, they're going to help us, you know, get back, you know, to our kayak, and then to be, you know, ready to continue paddling in this steady, you know, forward movement. So I really loved it. I think it's for me as a 40-year-old, it's a good way to remember that this is important in terms of how we do things in life. That yeah. This is steady progress. This is something that doesn't change from one minute to the other, that we're going to fall many times and we need to repent as many times as we need. But if we get, you know, the proper, you know, coaching and proper help in the way, we can reach our destination if we constantly pursue and we constantly strive to do the things that we know are good to us.
Yeah,
Danny, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I have a quick quote from that talk, which I think are, I wish we had more quotes like this more often, because something that happens with General Conference, in my own experience, I don't know about yours, is that one of the common reactions is, oh, I heard this talk, I thought of so-and-so, I'll send this talk to this person because it applies perfectly to their circumstances. And it's generally when we see ourselves as being on a kind of in a better position to then see the issues that others have, you know, those that are struggling around us. You know, and that isn't inherently bad. Like, you know, we're thinking about others and how to help them, right? But he said this that I think applies to us if we react that way, or to others. He said, we don't need to ask unhelpful questions or restate the obvious when referring to trying to help those struggling around us. We shouldn't be judgmental, or judgment is neither helpful nor welcome, and it is most often ill-informed, especially if we conclude we are more righteous than those that are struggling. So, close quote. So I appreciated that kind of that caveat that he offered, and I certainly felt a little bit called out when he said that. He was like, oh, I can think of many people that can use this talk. And you know, am I implying then that I'm in a better position than others when I respond that way? And if I am, this is a good reminder, like, you know, how to respond, like that kayak instructor, applying that on a spiritual sense. I really like that. So thanks, Danny, for sharing that one. Really liked it.
Yeah, I loved Elder Renlund's talk. I actually got something completely different from it. You know, sometimes when a talk just triggers a thought in your mind, which is completely separate to the talk itself. He referred to himself twice as Mr. Renlund, and I thought that was significant.
I saw
because
that.
He's actually, we think of him as Elder Renlund, but he's a doctor, isn't he? So he's actually Dr. Renlund, but I found it interesting that he acquired that title of Mr. and sort of held that title rather than putting himself on a pedestal as a doctor. That was those are the thoughts that were going around my mind when I was listening to that. But
we are
let's
in
move
sync.
On.
I made a note of that. Sorry. But
did
yeah.
you? Interesting. And I also, we are definitely in sync, because I also loved what you were talking about with the direct quote that you shared a few moments ago. Mm. That really resonated with me. I couldn't remember who said that, and so I didn't want to mention it. But then I thought, oh yeah, that was one of my key take-homes from this session. So we also had a first in this session. We heard from our newest apostle, Elder Kieran. So Daniel Yanez, why don't you talk us through that in a little bit more detail?
I think many people were looking forward to what would be his first talk as an ordained and sustained apostle. We hadn't had a chance to sustain him and to display that common consent as dictated by our scriptural canon. But I'd argue that everybody did so pleasingly yesterday. And then today we heard from him. I was not expecting to hear a mother-in-law joke. At least those are quite common in our Spanish-speaking world, right, Danny?
Yes, absolutely, all the time. Yes.
Yeah, sometimes a bit inappropriately so, but I think it landed really well. I think it was a good one that helped break the ice. And then he jumped straight into what I believe, and based on his previous teachings and ministry and kind of the flavor of his teachings, you know, this talk was very consistent with that. I have some quotes, two actually very short ones at the beginning, when he started talking about the plan of salvation and the many names that the plan of salvation has in the scriptures. And he said that his plan, God's plan, is designed to bring you home, not keep you out. And then he said, just shortly after that, that God is in relentless pursuit of you. And that use of kind of the second person, you know, addressing the you, was very reminiscing of Elder Richard G. Scott, or Richard Scott, if I remove the middle initial, who passed away 7-8 years ago now. And he had this very particular style of giving talks, speaking to the individual. And that was very, very unique of him. And he would also pre-record his messages in Spanish, and I think in other languages as well. And I like that he did that. His whole talk was not like that. It was not like a Elder Scott talk, but it had that indication of, you know, I'm addressing you, and by you being everybody at the same time, but at the individual level. And I think it was really geared towards those that might not find a place for them in this plan, or at least on the way that we have collectively articulated it. He talked a lot about roadblocks, which, by the way, for those with little children, my kids were saying, is he talking about Roblox? I don't know if you guys know what Roblox is.
Yeah, Roblox, yes.
One of my kids was actually kind of messaging back and forth with another kid from church, like saying, oh, is he saying Roblox? Oh. But he talked about how, you know, it's not the roadblocks what the gospel has, but rather the opposite. And it felt a little bit like a reframing, or if not reframing, a solidification of establishing the gospel as a plan that includes everyone, that is far-reaching. And I resonate a lot with that. And it's not an easy conversation to be had. I think the many intersections of many things going on in the world these days show that it's not easy to really fit the gospel along with this message of inclusion, because you know, shortly thereafter we hear from Elder Oaks, we're going to get to that one, talking about covenants and kind of this very, very big setup that I found quite nice in general, but then to land into this very specific thing about temple garments and, you know, these very like practical things with a deep spiritual meaning, but kind of practical. And that could be easily contrasted with Elder Kieran's talk about this wider way of looking at the gospel plan. He did emphasize that, you know, this thesis that he's proposing is not one that gives a way, or like that doesn't require personal righteousness. And he emphasized that the Savior's message had that embedded into it frequently. So, But I really like the talk in general. He quoted 2 Nephi 26, which contains some of my favorite scriptures. And overall, I think a lot of people will resonate with Elder Kieran the way that many people resonate with Elder Uchtdorf or with Elder Holland, and with kind of that unique style of speaking and that very specific angle that they have and that they bring to their ministry. So that's all for Elder Kieran for me.
Yeah, I hope that people do, you know, get lots from that talk. I certainly did. We unfortunately don't have time to cover all of the talks from this session, but let's just end with President Oaks then. So we just have a few seconds left. Just key take-home messages. For me, it was again that reiteration of Think Celestial. We also saw a map of the operating temples in the world, which was nice to see. When they say temples are dotted all over the earth, you could literally see them dotted all over the earth. And I feel like the sessions we had yesterday on Saturday, there was a lot on covenants and the temple, and I'd felt like that had been largely absent from this session. And then right at the end, President Oaks came along, and again, it had a huge emphasis on temples and covenants. What were your takeaways just in the final minute here?
In 10 seconds for me, when it got to the final point about the temple and garment wearing specifically, I was really glad that the case that President Oaks made had nothing to do with modesty. I think that's a really good thing that it was established from a different angle. And also really glad that earlier in the talk, even though it was not directly about garments, but it was more about symbols in general, that there's nothing magical about them, but rather they're symbolic reminders of a commitment with God. And kind of removing that magical or mystical element from some of those things, to me, is a plus. I think we sometimes over-rely on those kind of more esoteric meanings that we attribute to some of these things when actually, you know, it's more the symbol and the relationship that they represent. That's all for me.
Yeah, it was a great talk. I think he just framed it in such a way that allowed us to have this historical background we needed, and then to understand what's the purpose of garments today as members of a church.
Interesting that we're emphasizing this topic a lot, because yesterday there was another talk by Sister Dennis, none other than the Sister Dennis, after a couple of weeks of the whole Relief Society controversy, emphasizing this topic. As far as I can see from my point of view, that is not an issue here, at least in my domain or my space, but it seems to be an issue elsewhere. And it's interesting to see how they're kind of addressing it, and lots to say about it that probably we're going to have to take to a different episode of This Week in Mormons.
Absolutely. Well, it's just about time for us to wrap up. We hope you have a wonderful final session of your conference weekend, and we'll see you again very soon. Thanks for joining us today.
See you.
Bye. Bye-bye.